This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We got an email a while ago from James Fallows, the national correspondent for The Atlantic magazine, with an idea for a project. A collaboration, really, building on America's history of serial journalism, the tradition of discovering things about this country and about ourselves one small city at a time. Only this time by air in Jim's plane. Lots of meetings and brainstorming sessions later, Jim started out on the road for our series that we're calling American Futures. I'm going to join him later this week out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But right now he's at his first stop on the trip in Holland, Michigan. Jim, I got to tell you, it's a great pleasure to have you with us.
Hello, Kai. Nice to talk to you.
I want to start and throw to you with a question that you put in your very first post on this trip about Holland, Michigan on the Atlantic website. Why and why here? Why do you find yourself in Holland?
Well, this is the beginning of a trip we're going to be doing, trying to go to smaller towns in America that have interesting economic stories, technological stories, stories of demographic adjustment, parts of the American saga that are often left out of our normal news coverage. I usually live in Washington, D.C., so this is a change. And so Holland we've started with because of its unusual industrial story.
Tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, there's lots there that I think people might not know.
Right. Well, Holland is a place that I think is known in Michigan, but not necessarily worldwide. And when it is known worldwide, it's for its almost ye olde curiosity shop type Dutch aspects. But it also has been for a long time the center of real manufacturing clusters. There was a long time a shipbuilding industry here. It's on a small lake that connects to Lake Michigan. That's become now an industry making turbine blades for these giant windmills you see around the country. Most of the world's office furniture is made in the immediate radius of Holland from Herman Miller or Hayworth or Steelcase. So at a time when we wonder whether manufacturing is viable in America, in the Rust Belt, in the upper Midwest, et cetera, this is a place that has a lot of it right here.
You're talking to a public radio audience here, Jim. I think everybody out there knows Herman Miller in the Aeron chair, right?
Yes. Some of the big hotels here in Holland, they have dual sets of both Herman Miller and Hayworth furniture so that when delegations are coming in from one company or another, they can swap out the sets for an appropriate feel.
That's perfect. What are you hearing from people in Holland as you go about the city and ask them these questions that you have in mind as you start this trip? What do they want you to know?
What is so interesting is that what's an urgent question in most of the country, which is how are we going to get the economy going again, less urgent here. I mean, obviously, unemployment is a problem here, as it is any place, but there are these very big, very successful, and very relatively stable locally based businesses. And so instead, two of the main things that have come up just in these past few days we've been here is, number one, the ongoing effects, both good and complicating, of demographic change. There's a very large migrant worker population here, mainly Latino, that comes for the agricultural works, blueberry picking, the world's largest pickle plant, et cetera. And so the effects of ethnic change on school systems, on social order or whatever, that's one thing that is you wouldn't expect to be the case in a town called Holland, Michigan, but is. The other is some very interesting recent debates on gay rights.
Part of the reason this trip stands out and part of the reason it works, I guess, is because you're doing it by air. You're doing it in your own plane. Tell us about that.
The plane is a Cirrus SR-22, which is made by the Cirrus Aircraft Company of Duluth, Minnesota, a place we plan to go to. The most famous aspect of this plane to the general public is the fact that it has a parachute for the entire plane. So that if you get in some kind of trouble, as you know, I'll explain why we're going to try to avoid that, there's a red handle you pull and a parachute comes out and the whole plane drifts survivably to the ground. The main watchword we're having for this trip is to do no difficult flying. We want the flying to be the most routine part of it, only in good weather, only relatively short hops, only in daytime, because you can get into a lot of trouble in small planes, as people know. So we're sticking to the safe, even boring part of flying, although it's never boring to see the world from a 2,000-foot elevation.
That is true. Jim Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic magazine. I'll see you in Sioux Falls on Wednesday, Jim.
Looking forward to it, Kai. Thank you.
Our series with Jim Fallows and The Atlantic magazine is called American Futures. The online version with Jim's blog, extra audio, and a kind of cool high-tech map of our travels is at marketplace.org. And while you're there, you can weigh in with your suggestions for other places for us to stop.